It's a wonderful thing to have friends, and then when they leave, it's a wonderful thing to know that we go to be with them one day. And when we know where we're going and know where they have been and where they're going and where they are, thank God it'll be a glad reunion day one day with the Lord. And the first person that we'll see is the Lord Jesus Christ. And first, I've heard Steve say more than once, he said, I can't imagine what it'd be like to, first person I ever see is the Lord. And may God bless us to live and serve the Lord Jesus Christ until we see Him. And I believe we're going to see Him before very long. I believe the day is approaching. And that's pretty much what we're going to be dealing with this morning in the book of Revelation, chapter number 22. And for every believer that we do have a desire, we have a hope within our bosom. And the old song that we just sang says, oh, I want to see Him. And I believe John had that same desire in his life. As John penned these words in this last chapter of the last book of the Bible, John penned the words, even so come. And I believe this morning the desire of our heart, if we're a true believer, if we're a true Christian, I'm not talking about a person who's just joined church. I'm not talking about somebody who's just gone through the baptismal waters. I'm talking about somebody that knows the Lord. Somebody that's come in contact with the presence of an eternal God. It is our hope, it is our desire to say, even so come, Lord Jesus. John was on the Isle of Patmos. He was there because of the testimony that he had for the Lord Jesus. And you'll read that in chapter number 1 of Revelation. And by the way, the book of the Revelation is a book to reveal Him, to reveal Jesus Christ. And sometimes people say, oh, I can't understand the Revelation. It's a closed book. No, it's an open book. There's a lot of things we don't understand about it. There's a lot of things that are questionable in our minds about what it means and some of the typology and those things. And many times we come back and we say, I just don't understand all that I've read. And I'll tell you what, the book of Revelation, by the way, it doesn't have an S on it. It's the book of the Revelation. It's the revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, I want us to begin reading in verse number 10 of Revelation chapter number 22. And we'll read down through the last verse of the Bible and look at these things together. Verse number 10. And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. As John was sitting there on the Isle of Patmos as a prisoner, being banished to that island of all the misfits and the unwanted of their day, he was receiving the revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ, and John wrote those things down that he saw. Now, there's some very explicit things that are given to us in the book of the Revelation, and detail is very great. And we know that John saw this, and he wrote it down in a book. And we have it this morning before us. And as he was there as a prisoner, and as he was there waiting, I believe he felt as though Jesus was coming to receive him very quickly. And as he was there on the Isle of Patmos, he said, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." He said, "Amen. Let it be. So be it." And this morning, I want us to understand that that's been some 2,000 years ago, but you know what? "Even so come, Lord Jesus." As it has been these many years that has passed, and there are those that have sort of gone away from the Lord and gone away from the Word of God. There are those that have rebelled against the message of God and even the messenger of the Lord. It does not change the fact that Jesus says, "Behold, I come quickly." When the Lord decides and when the Lord has that appointed time that comes, He is going to come, and it's going to be a quick revealing of Himself, and we're going to be in His presence immediately. Thessalonians tells us it's like the twinkling of an eye. It's that quick from leaving this earth and being in the very presence of the Lord. And so John here, the human author of the book of the Revelation, he is there and he has written all these things that we find in the book. Some of them are very, very disturbing, and some are very bad that comes upon the countries and the nations of this world that have rejected God. But yet Jesus identifies Himself, and He tells John, He said, "Behold, I come quickly." And John responds and says, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." This morning, I want us to think about that little phrase that is found in verse number 10. It says, "Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book." And here's the phrase, "For the time is at hand." I believe the time is at hand. I believe the approaching days that we are living in, and we see the coming storms that is all around us, I believe we certainly can identify that the Lord is coming again. In just a few weeks, we'll come to an end of another year. We are next week, I think, is the official end of summer, and all those things that people they have their summer times, and from Labor Day on now to the latter part of the year, we'll be talking about end things, or we'll be talking about the latter part of this year in which we live. And this has been a very eventful year. And I believe it's been a fulfilling of prophecy year. There are many things that have come to pass that we can see in our Scripture. And I just want us to look at these verses this morning. "Behold, I come quickly," or "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." And verse number 10 that gives us the day is at hand. This morning, to the unsaved, I would say to every unsaved individual, every unsaved person, that the Scripture very clearly tells us that today is the day of salvation. This is the day. We don't have yesterday. It is gone. It will never be recalled. It will never return back to us. All we have is today. A person that is without God, they don't have tomorrow. They have right now. They don't even have tonight, because all that we are promised is the moment that we're living at this very portion of time. And so we have no promise of tomorrow. So either by death or by the sudden coming of our Lord, one of these days people are going to be left behind. One of these days folks that have put it off, and folks that have rejected, and those that do not care and do not want to hear, they're going to be left behind, because the Lord is coming. This is a pivotal belief of New Testament Christianity. We believe in the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the foundational truth of God's Word. We believe that He lived a perfect and sinless life. We believe that He established His church while He was here upon this earth to propagate or to give out the gospel. That's the belief of the Christian church. We believe that He died according to the Scriptures and He was buried, and thank God He arose again from the dead. That's where we stand. That's what we believe. But even beyond that, the pivotal point and one of the main doctrines of our Christian belief is that He's coming again. Praise the Lord, He is coming again. And to the unsaved, all you have is right now, this very moment. The Scripture tells us, today is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. To the people that are children of God, all we have is today. We don't have yesterday. We can't fix the mess up that we made yesterday. We don't know what tomorrow's going to be, but we do have right now. And so we can look, and as a child of God, many times the believer is pictured as a sleeping person or a one asleep at the post. Well, the Bible tells us it's high time to awake out of our sleep. And the Bible admonishes us to redeem the time, for the time, the days are short. And I believe this morning we are to be redeeming the time that God gives us, that the time is short before us and because of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so He tells us, for the time is at hand. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. I want us to look this morning at these verses, verse 10 through 21, and we'll quickly go through those and notice some things about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This verse 10 that we mentioned, the time is at hand. That's the first thing that we need to identify, the time in which we live. The Scripture tells us that in these last days there'll be a great falling away, and I believe we're living right in the midst of that falling away. There are people that once said they believed God, they once served the Lord, at least in an outward fashion, and now they have nothing to do with the things of God. Someone was telling me the other day, maybe it was Brother George, I'm not sure, I don't remember, that there's an age group of young people and an age group of folks that are just doing away with the things of God. They don't want to have anything to do with God. They don't want to have anything to do with the church of the Lord. They're on that falling away fringe, and they desire nothing that is righteous or holy, and they have no desire at all. Then there are those that have, as I a moment ago said, they have been there, but now they don't want it. They don't desire it. And that great falling away. Then we find the Scripture tells us that there is a Bible that tells us that there is a regathering of the nation of Israel. And whether you accept it or believe it or not, Israel is going home. The Jew is making his way back to the land of promise. And those are things that we as a child of God can know that the time or the day is at hand. These are perilous times in which we live. As we mentioned a moment ago, they have all the questions, but they don't have any answers. They see the problem, they see the needs. I was talking this morning about why crime is so rampant in our nation, and they're trying to figure out why. I can tell them why. It's because we have no respect of God, and if you have no respect of God, you have no respect of person, and if you have no respect of person, you don't respect yourself, and so we're just a bunch of dogs anyway. And that's how they live. We should not be, we are, but we should not be shocked at anything that happens in the unregenerate world. Because they can go to the depths of sin and just keep digging deeper and deeper. The Bible tells us in the book of Genesis that the Lord of heaven looked down and He saw that only the thoughts and the intents of their heart was evil continually. If that doesn't describe us today, I don't know any verse in the Bible that does. Only evil continually. So we find that the Lord is coming because the time is at hand. The day is before us. And I don't think we can deny, when we look at the Scripture, I don't believe we can deny what we see around us, what we read in the newspaper, the tragic things that are going on, not only in this country, but around the world. The world literally is exploding before our eyes. There's no desire of people anywhere to be holy or righteous or good. It's just all hate and war and strife. When you see these things, Luke says, lift up, for your redemption draweth nigh. We are not to be ignorant of those things. We of all people, we that believe the Scripture, we that believe the Bible, we of all people ought not to be ignorant of what's taking place. Because the Bible has already revealed to us that that is what's going to happen. And when we see it, that tells us redemption draweth nigh. Jesus is coming soon. Verse number 10 says the time is at hand. Verse number 11 says there's no second chance. Now I'm of the crowd and I'm of the persuasion that a person that hears the gospel in this period of time, this dispensation of the church, if they hear it and they mock it and they reject it and they don't want anything to do with God, if Jesus comes, I believe they're doomed. I believe they're sealed without God. And this verse here tells us that there's no second chance. Verse number 11. He says, reward is with me. He says, I'm Alpha and Omega. And he says in verse 11, let the unjust be unjust still. No change. He says, I'm coming, the day is at hand, and the just can be unjust, the just can be just, the unjust can be just, the righteous still, and the holy, they're all going to be sealed. And I'm glad one day I sealed my eternity when I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I believed on Him. I trusted Him. He became my Lord and Savior. He was my Savior. He is the one that took my sins and placed them on Himself. And there on the cross of Calvary died for me. And I recognized that one day and said, Lord, save me. Praise the Lord. Folks that have had an opportunity and they reject, I'm afraid they're going to have a rude awakening one day when some folks are gone. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to be accomplished. But the Bible says the Lord shall send them strong delusion, and they'll believe a lie. I don't know how that's going to take place. I just believe the Bible. The Lord's going to delusion their eyes, and they're not going to see it. They're not going to understand it. And there'll be some reason given, some explanation of why all these folks have left. And by the way, there may not be as many as we think will be leaving. I'm afraid that's one of the things that we have been fed to ourselves, that there'll be a great host. I'm afraid the great host is not going to be as great as we think it is. Just because a person belongs to a church, or just because a person says they're a Christian, just because they've gone through the baptismal waters, just because they're living the best they can, does not mean they are a believer. And only believers go to heaven. And so we find there's going to be no second chance. The time is at hand, and one day He's coming, and people will be lost without God and without hope forever and forever. That's why we are given over. The Scriptures tell us that we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's why we have our missionaries. That's why we have all the activities that we do. That should be bottom line of everything we do, is to tell someone about Jesus Christ. I praise the Lord. This past Tuesday night, we had 14 people out on visitation. Praise the Lord. May God help us to continue to tell folks and to warn people of the impending judgment that comes from God. He is coming. Even so, come. Now for the believer, verse number 12 and verse number 13, for the believer tells us that eternity will be a wonderful time. Oh, praise the Lord for eternity with God. Verse number 12, Jesus says, Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be. Somebody says, well, I don't believe we have to work for anything. The Scripture says here He's going to reward us for our work. Now, He doesn't reward us with salvation. He rewards us with crowns. He rewards us with the rewards of heaven. Now, salvation is a finished work upon the cross. When He died and cried, it's finished, wasn't anything to be added to it ever again. Nothing could be done. Jesus is the Redeemer. But you and I know that as a believer, we're to work till Jesus comes. We're to be servants of the Lord. And Jesus says, and when I come, my reward is with me. And He says, I'm going to give to every man according to his work. The Scripture says there are those that will stand before the Lord and they'll receive reward. They'll stand before Him and they'll receive reward. And Corinthians tells us that there are those that's going to lose reward. And so there's a day coming where somebody says, well, everybody's going to be the same in heaven. No, that's not true. Not in every sense of the word. Some are going to have more rewards than others because it's according to our works. It's according to what we do. We all become, as a Christian, we are the same in that way, and we're going to cast our crowns and our rewards before Him, and we will then, through all eternity, will be the same. But there's a time coming that His rewards will be given to us, and He will be that one that brings them with Him and gives to those according to their work. He says in verse 13, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He knows it all. He knows every detail of every heart in this building and knows every detail of every heart of every believer. Eternity is going to be a great place for the child of God. It's going to be a place where we can have the joys of the Lord because eternity is eternal. It is forever. It'll never end. Upon this earth, it doesn't matter how good things are, there comes a time when it ends. It doesn't matter how great things are, how good it is with our family, how good it is with our person, ourselves. There comes a time when those things end. Because we live in the temporal world. It's here temporary. It's here just for a little while. James says, man's life is like a vapor. It's here for a moment, then vanishes away. That's where we are. We may live to be 80, 90, 100 years old, but in compared to eternity, it's just a vapor that passes by. And doesn't matter how many years God gives us, it's going to end. It doesn't matter how good our life has been, it's going to end. But when we are transported from this world to that world, no more ends. No more coming to a conclusion because we come to eternity that lasts forever and forever. In our minds, we have a very difficult time understanding eternity. Because we're eternal beings, but we live in time. Everything we do is according to time. You go to bed a certain time, you get up a certain time, you eat a certain time, you go to church a certain time, you go to work a certain time, you play a certain time. Everything is by the clock. Everything is by the calendar. Somebody called me the other day and wanted to know if I had anything available in 2015. I said, man, I got everything available. I try not to plan that far ahead. May not be here. I wouldn't want to disappoint them. But you and I, we are temporary beings. We're going to eternity. The person that's lost is an eternal being. He's in a temporal state, and he's going to an eternity. And so this morning, we need to understand the time is at hand that we realize that the Lord is coming, and for the child of God, what a wonderful day it will be. Larry was talking a while ago, oh, I want to see Him. Oh, to look upon the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you what, there's some others I want to see too. There's some people on the other side. I've got a grandmother that I'd love to see again. A mom and a dad and friends. And people that have been through this church and preached behind this pulpit. And just friends. And one of these days, for the child of God, we're going to see them. Because we're going to be in eternity and never, never we'll have to say goodbye again. You know, every time we go somewhere, every time we do something, we end up saying goodbye. We'll say goodbye this morning. When we leave here, we'll say goodbye. We'll see you later. You have family reunions. I think you all had your family reunion, was it yesterday? You said goodbye yesterday. Some others will have family reunions at different times. Sharon has her family reunion in June, and they come to a time of that week-long ordeal. And they say goodbye. We say goodbye here. Oh, but we're going to a land of no more goodbyes. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful thought it is. You know why? For the day is at hand. You know why? Because the Lord is coming. But just as wonderful it is for the saint, it will be that dreadful for the sinner. It'll be that terrible for the man or the woman that dies without God and without hope. Because verse number 15 says, for without those that are not in eternity with God, those that are on the outside, and he gives the description here, are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and make a lie. Liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, the Scripture says. And so, for eternity for the saint will be great, but eternity for the sinner will be dreadful because death is sure. We are going to die. We are going to leave this world one day. You may get up in the morning and hear the news that one of our friends and maybe one of our church members, maybe even your pastor, has died. He's gone. It's for all of us. We're all going to die. And I'm glad I know where I'm going. Death is sure. Judgment is certain. We'll all stand before God. And I'm glad one day that I made, as the Scripture says, we make our calling and election sure. We believe God. We trust Him. But for those that are lost, the only thing awaits them is eternity. Separated from God. Separated from goodness. Separated from righteousness. Separated from all things that are good. And hell, the Bible says, is a real place. That's not popular today in our society. And it's not politically correct, maybe, to say that. But people that die without God, they're going to go to hell, according to the Scripture that we have before us. And so we need to warn people of that dreadful place, because judgment, we shall all stand before God. I'm glad the Lord has an invitation. Right here in the last portion of the last chapter of the last book, God gives us His invitation. Notice here in verse number 16. It says, "And I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things." Know where at? In the churches. That's a whole different subject there. But we have the testimony of the Lord Jesus right. We have the Word of God, and we are to testify. And He says, "I'm the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star." Verse 17 says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come." There's that last invitation. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. And by the way, any of us that are saved here this morning, we are saved because the Holy Spirit came and knocked on our heart's door one day and drew us unto the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit says, come. The bride, the church of the living God, says, come. And the verse here goes on. And it says, "And let him that heareth say, come." Goes on and says, "He that is in a thirst, let him come. And drink of the water of life freely." I'm glad it's not a cost put upon it, because there's not enough money in this world to buy the salvation that God gave us through His Son. And so eternity will be great for those that will believe and dreadful for those that will not believe. But yet He still calls. The Spirit of God is calling. The saints of God are calling. The church of God is calling. And we're to follow after the voice of the Lord. Salvation's free. Judgment awaits those that will defile themselves. They reject it. They return away from it, and judgment comes. But Jesus Christ is coming, just like He said. Doesn't matter what we think. It doesn't matter what. You put anybody's name there you want to. It doesn't matter who says what. It does not change the fact Jesus is coming. For He says in verse number 20, "He which testifies these things saith, surely." That word "surely" there means most definitely, "I come quickly." So the Lord Himself, He says, definitely, surely, I'm going to come, and I'm coming quickly. Somebody said, "Well, it hadn't been too quick. It's been 2,000 years. You wait till it happens and you see how quick it is. In the moment, the twinkling of an eye, He shall come." The coming will be quickly. The coming is surely. And the coming's going to be sort of quiet. Not going to be a bunch of wrestling, hustling made. We're not going to pack our bags and get on a train or a plane. We're just going to be in the presence of the Lord. He comes quickly. May God help us to serve Him till He comes. The time is at hand. I believe, and I believe you believe, that He could come today. I believe He could have come yesterday. Since He didn't come yesterday, that means He can come today. Now, if He don't come today, He could come tomorrow. We believe in the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not one thing has to be done. Quit looking for signs. Quit trying to say, well, when this happens, He'll come. Everything has been accomplished that needs to be accomplished for Him to come. For John said, even so come. The Apostle Paul believed that Jesus was coming. You and I, we believe that Jesus is coming. And until then, He gives us the grace to follow Him. In verse number 21, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Until He comes, I believe it's like what the Lord told the Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient. He'll give us grace to suffer whatever comes our way. Preacher, you believe there'll be suffering in this country? I don't know. I believe it's possible. If it is, then I believe He'll give us grace to endure whatever He brings our way. He'll give us grace that we can serve Him. And He'll give us grace we shall survive. Praise the Lord this morning. He's coming. Coming again, oh coming again. Jesus is coming again. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Jesus is coming again. I remember years ago, one of the first songs that I heard when I entered college, the church that we went to, they opened that their services up many times with that old song, Jesus is coming again. Praise the Lord. It may be today. It may be tomorrow, but He's coming again. May God help us this morning to live our life and to serve Him in the anticipation that John would say, and we would say as John said, even so come, Lord Jesus. John says, I know You said You'd come quickly. Oh, may You come. And before we get through this period of time that we're living in right now, right before the coming, we may be in the same predicament as John was, and we'd say, Lord, come, please come. May God help us to live for Him until He comes for us. If you're here this morning without Jesus Christ, you need to follow Him. For the day comes when there'll be no more invitation, there'll be no more services, no more truthful preaching. Today is all the day, all the time that we have. Let's stand together this morning.